I suggest you try it again, Luke. This time, let go your conscious self and act on instinct.
With the blast shield down, I can't even see. How am I supposed to fight?
Your eyes can deceive you. Don't trust them.
Hello. I am AA23, the official droid of Ashla Analysis.
Keep your concentration here and now where it belongs.
This is it. Everybody quiet.
Follow me, boys.
Got the dark side, the light side. One is selfless, one is selfish. You want to keep them in balance.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Vader was seduced by the dark side of the Force.
That's not how the Force works. There's been an awakening. Have you felt it?
Allow me to introduce our instructors in the Force, Master Eric and Master Rachel.
Hello, universe. It's time once again for Ashla Analysis, the podcast where Eric and Rachel teach you about the Force.
Yeah, Rachel, I'm really excited about this one. We were trying to think of, oh, hey, what would be another good topic that we could discuss? And this one is really exciting.
Yeah, this is one of those things that I just had a good feeling about.
But what is it?
Well, speaking of, we're talking about seeing with the Force. So trusting your instincts. You know, you hear Obi-Wan say, you want to reach out with your feelings, Luke. And so there's a lot of mystery around that when we are just watching the original trilogy. But when you go into a lot of the books or video games especially, it's all about honing your skills within the Force, whether it be light or dark side. But a lot of it is centered around being able to have that quick reaction, right, or the reflexes, and being able to slow things down so you almost appear to see things before they happen. Or maybe you actually do see things in the future, right, and that helps guide you. So we wanted to go over a few of those things today to help you guys guide yourself on your own journeys.
Yeah, and we actually hear that from Qui-Gon about Anakin. You know, he can see things before they happen. He's got quick reflexes. It's a Jedi trait in episode one. He talks about that.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different things where people come up saying that they've seen something before or they felt something and now it's happening. And I mean, that actually happens within my family. I think we must be a whole Jedi line as well.
Uh-oh, I better get my Sith cronies ready to go take you guys out.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of us, so look out.
Okay.
Well, why don't we talk first about trusting your feelings? Because that's kind of like the basic one. Everyone's familiar with that, right? We remember Obi-Wan teaching Luke that your eyes can deceive you. Don't trust them, right? I always love that line.
Mm-hmm.
So he's trying to get Luke to see through the Force instead of just with his eyes and use a different sense that he's not used before, anticipate things, and try to have a faster reaction because of it. So the Jedi actually had a name for this type of sense ability, which is life detection, and we'll go over that in a little bit, but it allowed you to feel the presence of a living thing, right? So as we see in the Millennium Falcon, the training remotes, those were very popular for honing this kind of skill, where it forces you, with the blast shield on the helmet, to not have any sight and only use that sense.
Yeah, and this is something, obviously, you know, in Star Wars Rebels, Kanan, he loses his sight, right? But, and at first, he's, like, needs help walking places,
yeah.
You know, and he needs that assistance, whether it's from Ezra or Chopper or somebody's there to guide him to where he goes. But as life continues on and he understands where things are without seeing them, he doesn't need his eyes to be able to tell where he is. He's seeing, quote-unquote, seeing through the Force, which is awesome.
And usually it takes some practice, like you see with Kanan. Mm-hmm. One of the cool things is, if we go back to Luke, you know, Obi-Wan is encouraging him to trust the Force, and so he puts away his targeting computer, right?
Yeah.
And that's how he ends up blowing up the Death Star. So he didn't have a whole lot of training with it, but yet he could do it almost like second nature.
His computer's off. Luke, what's wrong? Nothing, I'm all right. All right. May the Force be with us.
Right, exactly. So in case you want to blow up a Death Star, there you go.
Yeah.
What about Force visions, though, Eric? Because those are my favorite. A lot of Jedi they're able to see the future in a vision or a dream of sorts. A lot of it's cloudy, right? So they don't have all the details. It's not completely accurate, but they have these premonitions or visions or dreams, and it helps guide them into what they should do next or avoid something and such.
And this is really interesting, because how do the Jedi get these visions, right? Do they randomly come, like you mentioned, with dreams? Like Anakin, we see him having dreams with about his mother and about Padme, you know, all that stuff. But it doesn't always have to be that, right? It could be, like, if think about where Luke received visions, right? On Dagobah with Yoda, he's doing a handstand and lifting up rocks, and he gets his vision of Cloud City and all that, right?
Right.
He's obviously not asleep, but he had this vision, you know? So
a lot of it will come from either the connection that you have with the living force, and it's trying to help guide you. Or sometimes you're in an area, right, like Dagobah, like a planet or a place that is so in tune with the force that it's almost easier for it to kind of move forward and show you. I remember Yoda was saying,
"It is the future you see."
Future? Will they die?
Difficult to see. Always in motion is the future.
And he talks about how clouded the future is, right? And how it's so hard to determine what it means. I know for me, I will have dreams that come out of nowhere, and they will be things that will actually happen years later in my life, like scene for scene actually happen. And then there's other times where I'll be pondering something for days and days and days, and then finally, subconsciously, I'll kind of have this dream or half-conscious dream about it, and the answer will come.
Hmm.
So it could be like that as well.
Yeah. You're lucky that that happens. Like, the last dream that I had was of Daisy Ridley touring the collection in my house. And then I woke up and it was like, oh, like, Disappointment City, you know, it was terrible. But
well, see, my vision of that is when you invite me to your house and then she comes. This is perfect.
Yes. Well, good luck having that happen. If you have that dream, I'll feel a little bit better about it. But
okay, I'll let you know.
Another thing, Rachel, which I thought was really interesting, and this is something that we just recently saw, if you remember in Star Wars Rebels, Maul is after Ezra to combine the Sith and the Jedi holocron in the hopes that it will help them find what they want. And we obviously know that Maul wants to find Obi-Wan Kenobi. That's his big thing that he wants. He wants his revenge. And Ezra, he wants to figure out how to destroy the Sith, right? And so combining
it's
those two
very
holocrons,
conflicting information.
Yeah. Combining these two holocrons, I mean, we see what happens. And what I think is most interesting is when these holocrons combine each other, this light, this white light just like expels from the two holocrons that have been combined. And what's interesting, Rachel, is that Kanan actually can see a little bit. You know, he can see shapes and figures. And it kind of reminded me of Daredevil, because Matt Murdock, he's blind, and when it rains, he can see. You know, like, he takes off his mask, and he can see Elektra standing right in front of him from that movie. And it kind of reminded me of that, where you can't see anything, right? And then when these two holocrons are combined, you can see things. Not like you would normally be able to see somebody in front of you, but just the outline or the silhouette, right? And combining these holocrons was able to give them some answers.
Like, think about it in the simplest terms, right? If you walk into a dark room, you can't see anything for a good couple of minutes, right? But someone that's been standing in that room for an hour can see all the little details, even if there's no light in there, because your eyes adjust, your senses adjust to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the same thing was happening, where Ezra and Maul were blinded by this light. Their main sense of visual, you know, was overloaded, but Kanan has been using the Force to see for quite some time. So as that's happening, it's showing him more.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
Yes. Now, question, if Chert Imwe was in that same situation, would he be able to see just as well as Kanan?
Ooh, I totally think so. Because he's calling on that same sensibility throughout his life, being able to anticipate things and see things. You know, he even talks about his head kind of follows Cassian, right? And he talks about how the Force is moving darkly around him. He knows the person is there, and he gets this sort of shape or feeling from that. So even though it's not the same way that you and I would see each other, they're still seeing.
Yeah, I think I would agree. I think I agree. The only thing that I think, and we talked about this last time when we were talking about Jedha, right? We talk about the Guardians of the Wills and what is actually Chirrut's, how much force does he have? You know, we don't see him use force powers and things like that. He's not a Jedi. He might call upon the Force, and maybe it gives him some sense of awareness of what's going on around him. But if Kanan was in the same situation as Chirrut Imwe was in, and both blind, obviously, I don't think that Kanan would have had to have asked Baze if the entire city was destroyed. I think Kanan would know, you know.
Because, yeah, you're right. I agree with that.
So, because he is a much stronger Force user. I think he would be able to pick up on
more
that.
In tune with it. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. All right, well, Rachel, why don't you take us into the light side?
Okay, so we touched on this just a minute ago, but one of the main light side sensibilities is the life detection, right? And there's the generic version like we were talking about before, but the Jedi used to call it prima vitae. And so this is the one that allows you to feel the presence of living things, but you can also track them, right, or locate them. So different life signatures provide different imagery or feelings, kind of like an aura, right? Mm-hmm. So friendly people or people that, you know or love, they give off like this warm, reassuring glow, right? And so it's familiar and it feels calm and happy. And you see that, like, even if you're, you know, if the blast shield is down. Versus there's like a darkness around an enemy, and you can feel that energy from them. A lot like, I know there's a bunch of people that I know that they can feel when someone's in the room, right? So even if they had headphones on or something like that and they didn't hear them, all of a sudden they turn around because they feel them there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a difference between the feeling of, my mom walked into the room and you turn around like, oh, okay, versus you can feel something is wrong, right? Mm-hmm. And most people have felt that in whatever situation, the difference between the two. And so for the Jedi, the strongest signature was that between the Master and the Padawan, right? Because of the bonds that they share and all the time they've spent together and all of that. So hence why Vader could sense Obi-Wan and said, a presence I've not felt since, and he couldn't even finish the sentence, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
Dark side people kind of have this, maybe not to the degree, but if you remember in Clone Wars, Maul has that same feeling when Palpatine comes to confront him and Savage on Mandalore. So
and
I think
it's pretty
cool.
It's that Master and Padawan bond. So mm-hmm. even the dark side has that, but that bond is so strong, right? That it's one thing that even after years and years and years and years, you recognize it.
Yeah.
One of the other sensibilities that the light side always uses is the sense force. And that's the one where you perceive the living force link between the living things. So it's a little bit different, but it allows you to see how the stuff is connected, right? How the person is connected to the animal, connected to the plant, how that all feeds into the living force. And it also allows you to see an area's force, like, signature, right? So if you walk into a beautiful garden and you can sense and feel that it's healthy and happy, or you can walk into, a burnt forest and feel that it's sick and dying. Same thing, a lot of Jedi would find places that were really beneficial, and so they would set up a lot of the colonies and stuff there, right? Because the ground was fruitful in the area or the place that they've chosen is going to be bountiful in the end. Or they'll even find places that give this malevolent feel, and so they won't stop there, or they won't use that, A lot of places are particularly strong with either light or dark. They're, most places are kind of in that general area, and you might find a couple of things here or there. But if you find something that really has a strong pull, it's either way over here to the light side or way over there to the dark side, you know?
Yeah. And to me, when I think about this one, I tend to think about Mortis, because that planet, you know, we hear from Obi-Wan, Anakin, the planet is the Force, use it, you know? And that's... So he can obviously, like, tell, hey, this area where we are right now, it's super strong with the Force. And Anakin
right.
uses that to get them out of trouble. So being able to sense things around you, being able to say, hey, you know, this planet, it's got some weird ecosystem. Why is that? Why are we having random people show up to us in dreams or in visions or whatever here?
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Well, in a lot of areas that are strong with either side, they have effects on the things or people around them because of that, right? Like, think about, you know, the cave on Dagobah.
Mm-hmm.
Luke goes in, and the same thing. Like, he has a vision in there because of it, but he has the vision of, you know, the worst outcome. And as you look at the trees and stuff, they're all kind of, like, gnarled and twisted and black. And, you know, so it can have physical effects as well.
I kind of like that.
Yes, you're twisted as well. We understand.
It's fine.
You know, one of the other ones, in post-cognition, so it kind of goes with it, right? Where you're extending your perception still, but this one's really cool because this one you can perceive along with the flow of time. So you'll get force readings from people that have held an item or were in a particular room last, right? Or something that was an event that was extremely violent or you know, something so crazy that it left such an impression in the Force. Those are the easiest things to see for post-cognition if you know, walk into a place or grab something. Quinlan Voss was somebody that was really good at that, right? He could pick up something and tell you about it or what happened with it last or the biggest thing that happened in this thing's life, quote-unquote.
Yeah. Like the psychometry or whatever it's called, I think.
Yeah.
Like if you touch something, you're able to then tell its history or where it was or, you know, things like that.
Yep, that's correct.
This also, and it's probably maybe a little different because it's not necessarily like the history of an item or who was in that room last, but when Rey touches the lightsaber, right, in The Force Awakens, it kind of gives her visions of other things and other places and it sort of takes her back to her past a little bit.
Yeah, it is this. It's still the same thing because the idea for post-cognition is you're seeing the Force's memory of an event, right? And so the flashback that she gets are all of the biggest events that have happened either in her life or that are going to intertwine into her life, right? Like being left, that was the most traumatic event for her. You know, the Knights of Ren murdering all of the new Order of the Jedi, right? Whether she was there or not, that was a huge event. And so she's seen the Force memories of that.
I'm excited to see what happens in The Last Jedi and how that's all going to play out. Because you know we're going to get more information on that whole thing with Luke
shortly
and Rey sort of coming together. So,
yeah. The last one I wanted to throw out there, Eric, was for the light side was Farsight.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's similar to what we were talking about, right? And this is the one that the Jedi use to sense distant events. So this is what we see, you know, Yoda trying to do. He's trying to see the future of the Clone Wars and figure out what's going to happen or how he needs to help lead them, right? Because he feels so lost. A lot of Jedi would achieve this farsight through meditation, right? Like Yoda was trying to do. He kept going back trying to figure this out. But it also can kind of hit you when, like, a really large event, something terrible has happened, like... Obi-Wan says, you know, when Alderaan gets blown up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this seems to happen, too, when bad things, like terrible things, you know, someone dies, or Order 66, right? We clearly see
Yoda
in pain. And, you know, Leia actually can tell something's up when Han dies, you know, so...
She also can tell something's up when she's on Endor, right? She can feel that conflict that's happening for Luke.
Mm. Yeah, that so, he survives the explosion.
Yeah, all the way up until then. it's funny because this is one, I guess we see Yoda using it most, but he actually had a recording in the Great Holocron about this, and it must be because, you know, he relied on it. But when you open that Great Holocron, Yoda comes up and says, "For using farsight, it's often difficult to see the future is. It's like searching for raindrops beneath the surface of the water. But raindrops fall and discern in depths they can be. Fleeting can be visions of the future, momentary glimpses of both the familiar and the strange. More dangerous are clear visions, as easy it is to confuse clarity with truth. Truth can be murky, and crucial is perspective to any vision."
You would think it's Yoda's so like wise or something.
It's so good. And I love how it can apply to, you know, to anything that you're trying to decide in your own life. You know, you have a couple choices, a couple roads you could take. You're conflicted onto what to do. It's all about the perspective. I love it.
And this, you know, seeing through the Force, I feel like is one of Yoda's specialties. You know, well, right. You could say that Yoda's very wise and Yoda knows a lot of things. Well, he's old and he's experienced, but I think more so than almost anything, Yoda's ability to sense the future and look at somebody and know what's going to happen, you know, they knew that there was going to be a lot of danger in the training of Anakin and all of that stuff. Yoda is so good at figuring out what's going to happen.
Yeah, well, and he spends a lot of time meditating on it, right? Like, he tries to be the one that he knows people look to him for guidance, so he tries to be the one that can offer the best guidance he can provide, and he knows he needs to be able to be so in tune with the Force to do that.
Yeah. All right, Rachel, how about we go over to the dark side, because everybody likes a little dark side, right? Everyone's got a little dark side in them, so we know that you can all connect with what we're about to discuss here. And one thing that I was super excited to talk about, and I was trying to think, well, how do Darksiders see without their eyes? How do they use the Force to see what's going to happen in the future? Or what do they do? They have visions. You know, how do they use all of this stuff? And one thing that I came across while preparing for this show was something called Dark Illusion. And this is something that we get to see in Star Wars The Clone Wars, The Lost Missions. If you remember, the very last episode of Clone Wars ever, there's some scenes where Sidious and Dooku are trying to break Master Yoda, right? So this is super, super cool. It comes from an ancient Sith ritual where one of the Sith has to have an existing connection to the person that they're trying to target with this Force illusion, this dark illusion, okay? So there's going to be a target of this, and one of those people has to have this connection. And then they have this ancient Sith incantation.
Oh, man.
And what they do is they take the blood of the person who's connected, and they have this, like, basin. It almost reminds me of that thing in Harry Potter with, like, the little water thing, and you stick your head into it, and you can sort of see. It's kind of like that. So they take Dooku's blood, they shoot it with Sith lightning, and they try to target Yoda with this.
"I need but a drop for the ritual to begin. Skin to cut the scar, so touch with the scar. Skin to cut the scar, so touch with the scar. Just me.
But what actually happens with this? How do they, what does the user do? What happens to them? So the user can impersonate another person using their looks and their voice. They come to him, Yoda, as Sifo Dyas, right? Mm-hmm. And Yoda's like, "What the crap is this?" You know? So that's really cool. And they can act as if they were him. They can even make someone think that they're in a location that's totally different from where they actually are. If you remember in this scene, they bring Yoda back to the Jedi Temple, and it's a time of peace, and Count Dooku's there with Qui-Gon. and right. Obi-Wan, and everyone's like, oh yeah, you know, it's peacetime, this is fun. They try to put these visions and come to Yoda in things that aren't really real. They're trying to manipulate Yoda's Force visions, which is pretty awesome.
And it's drawing on the connection that they have, like you were saying, right? So in this case, the Master and Padawan connection, mm-hmm. but I mean, whatever bond was there to then alter their senses and what they're seeing and feeling and add that confusion. So it is very creepy.
Yeah. But this, if you think about it, the Sith wanted the most powerful of the two to be the one that did most of the work, right? Dooku was there, he offered his blood, and he helped Sidious shoot the lightning, but it was Sidious who was reciting the Sith incantation. So, This was sort of Sidious's attempt to break Yoda, with the help of Dooku, but, I mean, it's another way to mash up Sidious versus Yoda, just to put those two head-to-head again, you know?
Okay.
And I think it's a cool thing, since we're talking about visions and all that, to be able to manipulate the Force vision of a Jedi. That's something serious.
Especially because they rely so heavily on it, too.
Yeah.
So you're right.
Yep. There's another thing that we get to see in The Force Awakens, and I'm sure we all remember Kylo Ren using this ability called telepathic intrusion. And I originally was going to put this sort of like up at the beginning of our show, or maybe even sort of to the light side, but then as I did a little bit more research and learned a little bit more about what exactly this is, telepathic intrusion, basically it forces, you force yourself into somebody else's mind, tormenting them possibly in order to get secret information. So you're actually entering their mind. But sometimes you can actually see other things, you know, so you use the Force to see things. So Kylo entered Rey's mind and he sees the island. He goes, I see it. I see the island. You know, so he used the Force to enter her mind and see things, which is really cool. But Rey, after she gets a little bit agitated, sort of reflects this back into Kylo, and she can tell that, you know, you're afraid, you'll never be as strong as Darth Vader. And that kind of ends that whole thing. So
it's kind of cool because she feels that he's intruding, right? That
yeah.
he's taking this information and she's trying to stop it. And so instead of trying to keep closing off, which is not working, instead she grabs that connection that's happening and then does it right back, which, oh, I love that about her.
Yeah. And Kylo, you know, I've had a lot of mixed discussions with people about Kylo, because in The Force Awakens, we see Kylo sort of, I mean, he beats Finn in a battle, lightsaber battle, but during that battle, he gets his shoulder, you know, sort of stabbed a little bit by Finn. He loses to Rey, and, you know, he's not able to get the lightsaber out of the snowbank. Well, how powerful is Kylo Ren actually? Is he that powerful? Well, think about his skills. I mean, most Jedi and most Sith have an ability that they specialize in, or they're really good
right.
at, right? Do you remember at the very beginning on the Jakku village, him stopping that laser blast with the Force?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is...
That's crazy.
That's crazy powerful. Kylo Ren's ability to use his mind to do things like that and to enter somebody's mind, telepathic intrusion is part of his specialty, to probe
right.
one's mind. So to have Rey sort of reflect that and resist him is pretty cool. So
also pretty devastating for him, as you can tell.
For him, yeah. But that also shows how strong Rey is with the Force.
Right.
This thing, this next one, is so cool, and it's something that I was a little bit confused on for a while. I had heard of it, and I knew kind of what it was from the expanded universe, but I'm sure most of you know Jason Solo, who is no longer canon. It's Ben
no
Solo.
No longer existing.
Yeah. But Jason Solo was the oldest son of Han and Leia in the expanded universe, and he learned something called anti-flow walking. And I want to read this quote directly from the complete Star Wars Encyclopedia, because they say it way better than I could explain it. So,
okay.
Again, quote, a method through which Angti monks communicated with the Force. By touching the flow of the Force, an AMT monk could figuratively walk along it, thereby reading the intentions of the Force, which is crazy. So these monks discovered this. They're Force-sensitive beings that communicated with the Force, and they could essentially walk along the Force reading the intentions of the Force, which is really nuts. I mean, that seems like it's a really skilled force power to be able to use.
I was going to say, it's like the highest level of being able to, you know, touch an object and see the Force's memory. But now what you're doing is seeing the Force's will.
Yeah. Yeah. And
which is all anyone's ever trying to do. Well, light side anyway.
The more skillful you get learning how to use this, you can actually travel forward or backward in time. And
yes.
But what's interesting about this is you must stay anchored in the current time, otherwise you could drift away. So you have to be aware that, hey, I'm in my bedroom, you know. Okay, well, always remember that, because if you don't, you could just get swept away in the will of the Force and in the Force's intentions, and you won't be able to get back.
This reminds me of Inception, right?
Yes, yes.
So you're going into dream, into dream, into dream, and eventually, if you're not careful, you get stuck in the dream.
Yeah, but it's kind of a blur, so you're aware of what's going on, but not really. And this part kind of reminds me of Lord of the Rings, right? When you put the ring on, everything's kind of like blurry around you. You're sort
yeah,
of
okay.
traveling through that. You know, it's almost like a different
dimension.
Dimension. That's it. It's like a different dimension almost. So it leaves kind of a blur. But what's interesting about this is that if you travel to the past, you don't actually change the past. You can just change people's
right.
perception of the past, what they think happened.
Yeah, because if you're going back and watching something, right? Like right now, if we think about a past event, I remember it from my point of view. But if I go back and I'm looking at it from someone else's point of view, from a third person, right? I might see something that I miss or something differently, and all of a sudden, my perspective is different.
Yes. And like I said, Jason Solo learned how to use this power, and we all know, well, I'm sure a lot of us know, that Jason Solo ended up turning to the dark side, and
right.
so that's where the connection here, okay, Ben Solo, that's Kylo Ren, he was their son who turned to the dark side, very similar, Jason Solo turned to the dark side. What's interesting, too, is they both have this fascination with Vader, and Jason Solo used this AMT flow-walking ability to travel back in time to learn about Anakin's fall to the dark side.
Very similar. I love
awesome.
The odes to
yes.
legends here for us.
Yes. All right, well, that will do it for the light and dark for Seeing with the Force. And as always, Rachel and I do know a lot about Star Wars, but we get help from the experts. So for this show, we use the Complete Star Wars Encyclopedia, the Star Wars Wikipedia, Star Wars, the Essential Guide to the Force, Jedi vs. Sith, and the Force Awakens Visual Guide, and the Jedi Path.
All right, well, now we should probably move on to your favorite part of the show.
Yes.
Versus. Dun, dun, dun.
All right, well, for those new listeners, Versus is a segment which we have at the end of the show after we've talked to you about this month's topic, and Rachel and I each pick a character from the Star Wars universe that we feel represents our subject for this time very well. So, last time, Rachel, we were talking about the history of the Force on Jedha, and obviously that's new Star Wars, canon Star Wars, and I actually selected Darth Vader's Secret Apprentice from the Force Unleashed video game, which is around the same time as Rogue One, chronologically, if you were going to consider the Force Unleashed as canon Star Wars, so very
yes,
similar
yes.
time period. So I selected him, and you selected Chirrut Imwe, and we left it up to our listeners to vote, and I'm just so confused as to how Vader's secret apprentice, this force-wielding, force-lightning-blasting, exploding, force-repulsing character, lost to a blind guy with a stick. So, Chirrut
well,
Imwe.
Maybe he's too concerned with destroying things instead of seeing what he needs to be doing.
So Chira Imwe beats out Vader's secret apprentice, claiming 60% of the votes. So congratulations.
Yay.
Yes.
Applause. All right. Well, how do you feel about this month?
Well, I like my choice, but it all depends on who you pick.
Oh, okay. Well, I will tell you that this month then, based on all of the things that we're talking about with seeing in the Force and all the different variations, I'm going to choose Anakin Skywalker.
Oh, snap.
All
you right.
You didn't expect that, did you?
Totally not, but it's cool because I like Anakin. If I lose, it'll be fine. I like that choice. I do. All right. So, for me, because we were talking about this Aang T flow walking, which, as we all know, since we discussed it, it's one of the most difficult Force abilities to be able to master, and especially if you're able to travel forward or backward in time, like this character can, I'm picking Darth Cadus, so evil Jason Solo.
Oh, I sensed you were going to do that.
Yes. All right, so if you want to vote in this versus segment, you can do that one of two ways. I will have a poll up on my personal Twitter page, which is @_EricPfeiffer. So that'll be up for about a week, and you can place your votes there. Or you can go onto our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/AshlaAnalysis, and you can select your winner there. There'll be a link to our SurveyMonkey page, and you just click on it, and it's easy. All you have to do is vote. So we will announce the winner between Anakin Skywalker and Darth Cadus on our next show, which will be in April.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to this presentation of Ashla Analysis as a part of the Twin Zones Podcast Network. So for Eric and Rachel, we will see you next month. May the Force be with you.
Thanks for listening to this presentation of the Twin Zones Podcast Network. May the Force be with you.
Now you will experience the full power of the dark side.
The dark side of the Force is a pathway to many abilities some consider to be unnatural.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
The Sith rely on their passion for their strength. The Jedi use their power for good.
Sith and Jedi are similar in almost every way, including their quest for greater power.